Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number 3 of the early line starts right here, right now. Let's not bury the lead. I'm Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is here as well. But now joining us on TEL bright and early on this Monday morning, it is John Rothstein from FanDuel and, of course, working for CBS Sports as well. Mr. College Basketball, the premier voice in CBB, at least in my estimation. John, it's been 217 days since the end of the 2022-23 college basketball campaign, but today it starts anew. Thank you for joining us here on the early line.
Great to be with you, Ben, and with what I can say off the top, great to finally talk to you in person.
I know, it's great to be here in person. You get Donnie Wrightside in the mix as well.
Yes.
John Rothstein, we appreciate the time. You do love Donnie Wrightside. Hey. Everybody knows that. So as we get going here, John, in 2023-24, there are 184 Division I college basketball games to tip off this season, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern, going all the way until late night out on the West Coast, 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. Some tips out there. So, John, let's start big picture. Let's look at the national championship odds as we enter this season. Kansas is the favorite. The number one team in the country in the preseason poll enters the year with the shortest price alongside Duke to win a national championship in Purdue in the mix as well. John, quickly welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience. They're all here. John Rothstein joins us on this Monday on the early line. John, as you evaluate the best teams in the country entering this season, who would you book as your favorite to win a national title entering this new season?
You know, I have Kansas number one in the Rothstein 45 right now at FanDuel, but I do think that the best roster in college basketball resides in Durham, North Carolina. It's such a rarity for programs to bring back a high percentage of players from the last year's team, but Duke has, when you look at the chemical makeup of this team, is starting backcourt, returning with Jeremy Roach and Tyrese Proctor, Mark Mitchell and Kyle Filipowski up front, and Ryan Young, and Duke also brings in a terrific recruiting class headline by a pair of guards, Caleb Foster and Jared McCain.
We take a look at some of these top-ranked teams heading into the season, and we got a long way to go, but I know one of the things your specialty is in the offseason, the secret scrimmages out there. Are there teams that we need to be known to be made aware of that say, you know what, you're not thinking that highly of them as a betting public right now, but heading into the basketball season, some of these teams are going to surprise.
Secret scrimmages mean nothing. Charity exhibitions mean nothing. Exhibitions mean nothing. And I will say this again. Secret scrimmages mean nothing. Charity exhibitions mean nothing. Exhibitions mean nothing. And I'm going to go back to this example. Prior to the 2009-10 season, Syracuse lost an exhibition game to Lemoyne, and Syracuse wound up as a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Might have won a national championship if Orenze Anoa'aku didn't go down with a knee injury. And one of the things that I've gathered from talking to coaches around the country lately, we are seeing a situation where a lot of coaches rarely prepare for these games, rarely run offense during these games, so they are by no means a barometer of what we can expect.
John Rothstein, thank you for using Syracuse defeat to Lemoyne as your example of why exhibition games mean absolutely nothing, touching on the old alma mater. As we look at Purdue, Rothstein, they enter the year third in the country as one of the three teams that is a co-favorite to win a national championship. But of course, the last few years, we have looked at the Boilers as disappointing in the month of March. Just the second ever 16-1 upset in the history of the NCAA tournament, fairly Dickinson knocking off Zach Edey and the Boilers a season ago. What do you expect out of Purdue this season? How will Matt Painter's group bounce back?
They're going to be obviously one of the best teams in the Big Ten and one of the best teams in the country, but Purdue does not start this season as a number one seed in the NCAA tournament like it was a year ago. It's going to have to play an entire season, an entire conference tournament, understanding fully that the only way for Purdue to truly exercise its demons from a year ago is to get to the Final Four in Arizona. The story, the script has not been written yet for this group of Boilermakers, but by all means, there's only one way for Purdue to erase the horror that everybody felt last spring. It's by getting to the Final Four in 2024.
Taking a look at some of the best college basketball players in the country. Everything starts tonight here. The Wooden Award winners. If you take a look at some of the odds there, Zach Edey at a plus 155 price, followed by Dickinson, Filipowski, and Klingon. Who in your mind right now, who should be in the driver's seat to open the season as the best player in college basketball?
It has to be Zach Edey. He is the Yao Ming of college basketball. He's the reigning national player of the year. But I do think Hunter Dickinson going to Kansas, playing for Bill Self, will put him in position to be in position to be right at the top of the national player of the year race.
We haven't seen a back-to-back Wooden Award winner since Ralph Sampson back in the mid-1980s. As we look at the high major conferences, John, around college basketball, you laid out the path for Duke. North Carolina last year was the preseason AP number one team, all the way to missing the NCAA tournament. The Big 12, Kansas, is loaded. Houston now joins that conference as well. And, John, there was an argument last year that maybe the Big East was the best conference in college basketball. Connecticut was a national champion. John, as you look at the high major conferences, what conference do you believe is the most loaded and has the most depth entering 2023-24?
Well, I think the one to watch, Ben, is the one you referenced, and that's the Big East. And, you know, we have to remind everybody that the Big East in its current rendition has won three of the last seven national titles, Villanova in 2016 and 2018 and UConn last year. But the Big East, since realignment in 13-14, has only gotten one combined NCAA tournament win out of St. John's and Georgetown. Rick Pitino is now at Georgetown, now at St. John's. Ed Cooley is now at Georgetown. Those two programs are only a combined 1-4 in the NCAA tournament since the 13-14 season. The Big East could be on its way to being the best league in college basketball once again. And remember, it's the only power conference that still plays a true double round robin format during league play.
Al Encore here for us, John. Take a look at the Florida Atlantic squad, who was so tremendous last year. Could we see a repeat performance in 2023-2024?
We definitely could, but obviously Florida Atlantic not sneaking up on anybody this season. Florida Atlantic going to have a vicious non-conference schedule, which will start Wednesday night against Loyola Chicago. They are going from the hunter to the hunted. It's kind of like the life story of Ben Stephens.
That is certainly how I would describe my life as well. Dusty May remains in Boca Raton. We'll see what FAU has this season. John Rothstein, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us here as the 2023-24 college basketball season tips today. Have a great opening day, John.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you very, very soon. We'll get some injury analysis now around the National Football League. Looking back one final time on the Week 9 Sunday slate. Come back and join us on your radar.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking back on the Sunday slate around the National Football League in week number 9, we are live here on this Monday on the early line. I am Ben. He is Donnie. And Donnie, some significant injuries yesterday around Sunday in the NFL. We start, of course, at the quarterback position. Daniel Jones, it is feared, has torn his ACL and will miss the remainder of this season. I believe we have Dr. Chow now here as well. He's the real person to provide the injury analysis and insight. You don't need to hear Donnie's take. We'll just ask the question. So, Dr. Chow, thank you for joining us here on this Monday on TEL. Of course, you can see the work that Dr. Chow and his team are doing at SIC Central, sportsinjurycentral.com. Com. Dr. Chow, let's dive right in. Daniel Jones, a non-contact knee injury as he returned yesterday for the Giants. The fear is it's a torn ACL, which would put him on the shelf for the remainder of this season. Dr. Chow, from the video evidence that you and your team examined yesterday, what did you see around the quarterback position for the New York Giants? I believe we're having some audio technical difficulties happening there, Dr. Chow. We do apologize. We'll hope to hear you soon. Donnie, stop laughing. It's a very serious thing. We'll hope to have Dr. Chow back on the show here in just a moment as we iron out some of those technical difficulties. I can hear you now, Dr. Chow.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Tech is not my strong suit. Videos, I'm good at analyzing. Tech, not so much. But the video of Daniel Jones, it happened in the last play of the first quarter, not the second quarter when he left the game here, okay? And with that, he showed his toughness. They checked him out between quarters. But his knee gave out on the last play on the touch sack from Max Crosby. In the first play of the second quarter, he just fell down pretty much as a result of the ACL being torn, and now it's basically confirmed. It's pretty clear by clinical diagnosis. And yes, you can walk off the field and look like you're normal with an ACL. depends on associated damage. If you go to my Twitter profile page at Pro Football Doc, the header is Phillip Rivers and myself walking off the last game played in the RCA Dome when we already knew he had an ACL tear that year, and he walked off like it was nothing too. So it is possible.
Doc, if we double down here on the New York Giants, of course, they're going to be looking for a new quarterback starter next week. It won't be Daniel Jones. Tyrod Taylor, how long are we off on him returning back to playing for the New York Giants?
Well, no one expects him to get a rib block injection to return to play because of, you know, his previous experience with the pneumothorax punctured lung. He's on injured reserve for 4 weeks. So it's 3 more weeks where they have to figure out something else to do. Little popping here.
Two special guests here on the show. No, that's good stuff. It's a family affair here on the early line. We know that to be the case.
A fever. Stay home morning for her.
Hey, that's very smart, right? We got to protect everybody out there as well. So, Dr. Chow, as we look around the NFL, one of the stories yesterday in that early window, BYU rookie Jaren Hall gets the start for Minnesota following the Achilles injury to Kirk Cousins. He leaves the game in the opening half, entering in concussion protocol. Joshua Dobbs comes in 5 days after arriving in Minneapolis from that trade deadline from Arizona and leads the Vikings back to a victory. But Dr. Chow, now with Jaren Hall in concussion protocol, what are those discussions happening behind the scenes for this Vikings franchise of who the starting quarterback is going to be moving forward?
Well, first of all, without Josh Dobbs, the Vikings would have no quarterback luck at all. And with the victory, you have to think he gets the starting job now, even though he just arrived, whether Jaren Hall clears or not. I don't see it being Hall, because even if he can clear concussion protocol for next week, are you really putting in a rookie who didn't really practice with the team all week and just throwing him in there? You might do that for Kirk Cousins. You're not doing that for Jaren Hall. No offense to him. And especially when Josh Dobbs came in and played well, now has an extra week. But without Dobbs, the Vikings would have no quarterback luck at all. Obviously, the Achilles to Kirk Cousins, the concussion very early, Jaren Hall, and their emergency backup quarterback yesterday was none other than Cam Akers, and he suffered a left Achilles tendon rupture during the game. Opposite side from his time with the Rams, very unfortunate for Cam Akers.
Doc, talking about a big football game yesterday in the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas Goedert tackled along the left sideline there, goes down, feared to have broken his forearm, but now also scheduled to have surgery. Talk to us about the injury, what happened, and also the need for surgery and what that's going to help out with Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, that was the worry as he fell. It was going to be a proximal forearm / elbow radius fracture, radial neck shaft fracture. Even with surgery, the good news is it is not the end of his season. There's a bye week. He's likely to hit injury reserve. So Dallas Goedert has a good chance to come back towards the end of this regular season and certainly playoffs. And, you know, the Eagles have the best record in the league, and this bye couldn't come at a better time for them, not only to help Dallas Goedert out, but Jalen Hurts re-injured that same knee. That lead leg brace probably saved him from a more significant reoccurring bone bruise slash MCL sprain. A lot of quarterbacks wear that prophylactically. Tom Brady did for most of his career. In this case, it sort of saves Jalen Hurts. The bye couldn't come at a better time, but I do expect Hurts to return after the bye in week 11.
So, Dr. Joe, as we went around the NFL, some late game drama. We talked about Joshua Dobbs leading the Vikings back to a victory in Atlanta late in the fourth quarter. The same for the Houston Texans. That was C.J. Stroud, but he was helped on by the backup running back, Dare Ogunbowale, not on the ground, but with his right leg, kicking a 29-yard field goal. The first time a non-kicker has made a field goal in a regular season game since 2004. It's all because Kaimi Fairbairn was injured earlier on in the game. Dr. Chow, in your many years of NFL experience, had you ever been around a situation like that where the kicker was injured and you had to turn to a position player to go out there and try to knock in a couple of PATs or maybe even attempt a field goal?
Well, there's no question that's a very unusual circumstance, and it's usually the punter that gets pressed into duties. But in this case, right, you know, depending on the punter's comfort. And here's what's unique about kickers. There's only one. There's no, like, depth chart of kickers. There's the depth chart of quarterbacks, running backs, every position. There's no depth chart. So here you have this running back making a kick, and good on him. The only closest thing I can think of is back in the day, and it wasn't on my personal team, but he is a friend of mine, is when Doug Flutie drop kicked an extra point for the Patriots. Yeah. You remember that one? And that was an extra point, not a field goal, but it was, and it was a drop kick, but certainly a position player, and that was very interesting.
Doc, Monday Night Football, Jets and the Chargers tonight. What are those injury concerns that we should be looking for tonight?
The bottom line is the Jets offensive line. They've have had three out of the five starters injured. Now they've lost center one and two. That's actually a miscoloring on that field view that's been corrected. That center there for the Jets is red two. So you see four out of five reds on the Jets offensive line. And look, they're going up against Khalil Mack, Sebastian Joseph Day, and Joey Bosa. Is Zach Wilson going to have any time? Breece Hall's getting healthier and healthier, but it's very hard to overcome when you have four out of five starters. And it's not just all second stringers. It's going to be a shuffle, especially with the very, very key center position there.
Dr. Chow, quickly here, only 30 seconds left in this segment. We know Justin Herbert injured his left non-throwing hand. Are there any ill effects that are plaguing the way he's playing at all?
Not directly, but indirectly, yes. Lots of shotgun, perhaps the different types of handoffs, potentially ball security on sneaks and other things. Indirect effect, but not direct effect on Justin Herbert.
Dr. Chow, thank you for joining us. As always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk some Monday Night Football on the other side of the break here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're having some fun here to start off a new week on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Now, which I think is a good thing, it's just Donnie and myself, Ben, for the remainder of this show up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. All right, DRS, a ton to get to here on this Monday. We know the college basketball season in 2023-24 tips off today, 11 a.m. Eastern time, the first of 184 games all the way until late night on the West Coast, 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. We'll look at some more key matchups that we have on the CBB slate. There's also NBA games around the association tonight before we turn our attention to Monday Night Football at MetLife. And here in the greater New York City area, DRS, not only a game over in New Jersey between the Chargers and the Jets, but at Madison Square Garden, a new era begins for the Clippers. James Harden expected to make his L.A. debut debut tonight on the road at MSG. What a welcome for the Beard in a Clippers uniform to debut at the world's most famous arena. The New York Knicks hosting the Clippers. Right now, LA, Donnie, a very slight 1.5-point underdog. Updated line on FanDuel, minus 188 on that money line. The over-under stands at 224. Donnie, he's not a system player. He is a system. So what do you expect out of the system in a new organization tonight in New York?
Well, the system is always programmed to be very good in the regular season and terrible in the playoffs and not win anything. So therefore, this is a regular season ball game. The system will be just fine in New York City. And quite frankly, it's a great stage to sort of debut here because you're right. The Clippers are superstar studded here across that lineup. Look at the starting lineup here. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Ivica Zubac. That should be enough to get it done. But also, how are we going to acquiesce, as we like to say, Ben, on the court? How is it going to figure out? Because if you are starting Westbrook and Harden, both of those basketball players want the basketball in their hands to make things happen. Is it too many mouths to feed here? And how's it going to go off night number one? Typically, we see a little bit of struggle to start, but I'm actually excited to see the Clippers on the court. And I see that short price here on the Clippers. I'm willing to take that there. There's a lot of excitement from that basketball team. And if we're just looking at star power, the Clippers have that tonight in the Garden.
Right now, the Knicks are struggling as well, DRS. They have lost two straight games. The Clippers dropped their most recent game against the Lakers. That was a while ago, though. The Clippers have had some off time here, maybe some practice time on the floor for James Harden to get in to the rotation tonight. I would look out for an assist prop if it is posted on the Beard, third most in the NBA a year ago, the third most assist, that is, in the association in 2022-23. No props out just yet, though, for James Harden's debut. Donnie, for the New York Knicks, it has been a struggle. They played Cleveland a couple of nights ago, then they played Milwaukee in the in-season tournament in that debut on Friday night. That game was inside the Pfizer Forum, a 4.5-5-point spread, depending on when you got it. Milwaukee won the game by 5, 110-105, but it was Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle leading the way. Some numbers to pay attention to tonight as we get ready for James Harden's debut in a Clippers uniform inside Madison Square Garden. All right, next up, as we keep it rolling around the association, focusing first on the basketball before we turn into our attention for Monday Night Football. In Denver, the Nuggets play host to the New Orleans Pelicans. Right now, Donnie, the spread for this matchup tonight in the Mile High City is on the move in favor of Denver. It's 5.5 points. The over-under stands at 221. What's the look tonight, DRS, for the Nugs and the Pels?
Yeah, it looks like we should just about all be there for the Pelicans tonight. Daniels, Jones, Ingram, Williamson, and Valanciunas in the starting lineup here. But anytime you go into elevation here with Nikola Jokic as a healthy participant, it's only the Nuggets as they look to me. But Ben, I don't think you updated or started us off here. Are these games counting towards the NBA in-season tournament or not? Like Bones Highland said, I have no idea what these tournament games are. I just show up and play the basketball game. So sometimes I need to get that preference as well. Oh, it's not? So maybe the Nuggets won't care about this game because, you know, oh well.
Donnie, it is not the in-season tournament tonight. Those are three Fridays in November and a couple of Tuesdays. This is a Monday, so we'll keep it up to date when there is in-season tournament ramifications. It was in that in-season tournament debut in Mile High between Denver and Dallas on Friday night. The Nuggets handed the Mavs their first loss of the year, and as we correctly predicted, Donnie, there was no chance Kyrie Irving was missing the first ever in-season tournament game in his NBA career. He played, but it didn't matter. Denver, the victory, knocking off Dallas 125-114. They backed that up against Chicago, winning by 21 the next night, covering in both games, Donnie, as the favorite. In fact, Denver, the reigning NBA champion, 6-1 to start off this year, Donnie, booked as a favorite in all seven games. Make that 8 tonight as they lay 5.5 against New Orleans, and they have covered in 4 of those 6 victories. Some injury news for the Pelicans. A collapsed lung for CJ McCollum. We'll see how long he is on the sideline for New Orleans throughout this season. But we should see a healthy Zion Williamson on the floor tonight in Denver. Donnie, let's talk some college basketball now as we get ready for a new season in 2023-24. Slightly compacted with John Rothstein, but we like to break things down. The marquee matchup of the 184 men's Division I college hoops games that we have on this opening day of the year, Donnie, happens in Las Vegas tonight. An Elite Eight team in Kansas State, although Jerome Tang has a new squad entering this year. And on the other side, we expect, well, we'll see, I guess, about the college debut of Bronny James as he recovers from that cardiac event earlier in the offseason. But USC, the second best price to win the Pac-12, a game out in Las Vegas, Donnie, between Kansas State and Southern Cal. How excited are you for a new college basketball season?
So excited. I will be fast. Actually, I won't be fast asleep as I'll be actually driving home at 10 o'clock. So maybe I'm more excited about the college basketball season than I even know here. Look, it's a learning curve here over the next month to month and a half, finding out who the new players on these teams are, which teams look quality, and also remind ourselves, you want to be playing your basketball best at the end of the season, not at the beginning. We're going to get wild upsets in the first couple weeks. Oh, Marquette just lost to Northern Illinois tonight. Don't worry about it. These teams will settle into form as they go. And also keep in mind, just as a handicapping perspective, check where these basketball games are being played. Because if you think you're going to go out and say, hey, man, Kansas State in the Octagon of Doom tonight. No, as Ben just said, they're in Las Vegas tonight. So it does make a major difference with home court advantage here, people.
A renewal of your KenPom subscriptions are needed. According to Kenneth Pomeroy, Donnie, this is the best basketball game of the evening. Again, a 3-point spread in favor of the Trojans. Donnie, as you well know, a handicapper who, as we go through this year, analyzes the numbers in college basketball with the best of them. I think the odds makers and the algorithm that KenPom utilizes are very, very similar ratings. He has USC winning this game by 1 point. You can often look at the predicted outcome as KenPom sees it and correlate it to a spread and a total. 72-71, he has USC winning tonight by one. That's right around 142.5 with 143 combined points. I guess if you were looking for the edge, as Kenneth Pomeroy details it, a 3.5-point spread in favor of USC would not lead to a cover. Donnie, we talked about some of the best teams in college basketball this year. Three teams tied at the top for that favored number entering the year, 11-1. Kansas, the number one team in the country, Duke, and of course, Purdue. Purdue starts as a 19.5-point favorite at home inside Mackey Arena tonight against Samford. I do not see Kansas here listed on the docket, Donnie, on FanDuel, but Duke opens up the year. Oh, Kansas does actually, excuse me. NC Central in Lawrence tonight, 29.5 points in favor of the Jayhawks. As we go through as well, Donnie, Duke tonight does host Dartmouth inside Cameron Indoor as a 27.5-point favorite. As Donnie said, there will be some more key matchups early on in this non-conference slate in November. As we get closer to Thanksgiving, it's Feast Week, it's the great non-conference tournaments that we have before the new year. But the great thing, Donnie, in my estimation, about college basketball as compared to college football, there is much more margin of error to play games in the early portion of the year that will not completely derail your season if you figure things out. Yes, will they be blemishes on the resume? You don't want quad three losses. You don't want quad four losses. It affects your seeding on that line for the NCAA tournament by the time we get to the middle of March. And maybe if you're around the bubble, it could burst your bubble on your tournament resume. But Donnie, if there is a wild upset or you see a marquee matchup and one team doesn't look as good as maybe we anticipated, it is not the end of this year. And as you saw right there, as we detailed those three favorites, Donnie, to win the national championship this season, really big spreads to start the year. Duke, a 27.5-point favorite. Kansas, a 29.5-point favorite. Purdue, the smallest margin, 19.5 against Samford at home tonight.
Yeah, by the way, you're going to get some live look-ins tonight where teams that you thought would be easily victors here are going to be struggling in the second half. You don't know where it's going to come from, but quite frankly, over the past couple years, we've seen it multiple times, like teams going in to North Carolina and shocking them in the Dean Dome early in the season when you didn't think it was going to be possible with the teams that were setting up for this season. I'm interested to see how it plays out in the sea if everybody holds up their end of the bargain tonight. As you said, a lot of heavy favorites, but that doesn't always mean wins here on opening night. There will be nerves. There'll be an acclimation process on the court, and there will be upsets.
Donnie, 184 Division I men's college basketball games. My favorite of the night, a battle of the Garden State. It's Rutgers and Princeton. The Tigers had some success last year in March Madness. I think Rutgers is a little bit better than people are giving them credit for in the Big Ten. Steve Peichel pounding nails. They're a 5.5-point favorite against Princeton tonight. Lay the 5.5. Your family, your religion, Rutgers basketball. A Monday Night Football preview coming up next here on Your Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we've talked about it a bunch here in this third hour that we were going to get to it, and now we do. Monday Night Football in MetLife between the New York Jets and the LA Chargers. Again, the Bolts, a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under, 39.5. Donnie, as we had the injury insight from Dr. Chow, sicscore.com, by the way, for more of those updated field views to paint the picture for tonight on a Monday in MetLife. I think the thing that stands out to me most, four significant injuries across the five offensive line positions for the Jets tonight, trying to protect Zach Wilson. 39.5 is the total, Donnie. We know the Jets defense is very, very good. Is the offense going to be able to do enough, Donnie, to keep gangrene in this football game?
I think they'll be in the football game, but again, it's you're coming in with known commodities, right? We know Herbert is a really good quarterback. It's a solid offense for the Chargers. We know that the Jets are challenged, to say the least, on offense. They have a very good running back that can hit home runs, but an inconsistent passing game. Whenever you have an inconsistent passing game, that usually doesn't lead to results and victories to your liking here, but the Jets are winning here. I don't want to say by default because that's a little disrespectful. Anytime you get wins against teams like the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL, you'll take them any way they can get them, even if they're handed to you. And if they are, you have to take advantage of the situation, which they have been doing that. But I'm not willing to come in this game and say, look, we're all prop bettors here, and typically to the over. Yeah. Ooh, I really like Zach Wilson tonight. No, I don't. And as the doc pointed out, if you're banged up on that offensive line and you have subpar quarterback play and you're relying on a running back, well, how does the running back get his yards? He doesn't create the hole by himself. They have to be blocked open. And if you're not going to have the ability to do that, how effective can your running game be? Yeah. So as we talked earlier in the show, the under really strikes me here, but if I'm just looking for an honest output, do I think the Jets can win the football game? Yeah, the line's basically 3. They're at home. They've been playing decent football, but I'm not going to be turning this football game on in the second quarter going, oh man, the Jets look like they're really fluid on offense. It's basically going to be like, I hope the Jets defense can make a play here to help the offense out. That's not a way to handicap a football game. Do I think the Jets can win? Yes. Am I betting the Jets can win? Absolutely not.
DRS, the New York Jets have only scored more than 20 points once since week number one, in that weird game where they scored 22 against the Buffalo Bills on the first Monday night of this season at MetLife. That was against the Denver Broncos, who are an atrocious football team defensively, or at least were through the first month and a half of this season. Outside of that, the Jets have not been able to muster up much offense. 17.5 is their team total tonight. For them to get to 17 feels far-fetched to me, DRS. But on top of that, to go over 17.5, having that hook in your favor, I think is my favorite bet for Monday Night Football. Again, they've scored more than 20 points just once since week number one. And now I'm going to say some really nice things about the New York Jets. Their defense is elite, and they have had to take on a huge burden this year since losing Aaron Rodgers. The Jets have been booked, Donnie, as an underdog in 6 of their 7 games this year. They are 4-2 against the number. They have won outright 3 times as an underdog. And Gang Green, Donnie, has won 3 consecutive games. The Jets are on a 3-game win streak. If you would have told me, Donnie, entering week number 9 in the conclusion of that slate in the National Football League, Monday night in MetLife between the Chargers and the Jets following the Aaron Rodgers injury, who would be the team at least a game above 500? I would have said, oh yeah, the Chargers finally living up to that optimism that we have for them each and every season, only to remember by week number 2, Brandon Staley is their head coach and he is inept at making game management decisions. Donnie, the Chargers enter this game with some slight optimism, but they're 3-4. And that third victory came against the Chicago Bears. Why should I have belief in the Chargers laying 3.5 tonight? I just don't have much of a thought, Donnie, on how this game plays out because of the concern to the Jets' offensive line. But it's not like I'm like, oh, yeah, the Chargers are the favorites, and rightfully so. That's the angle of attack for me.
Well, here's what you can look at for the Chargers, right? First two games of the season, they lost. Miami Dolphins and at Tennessee here. Now, when you take a look at those two games, lost by 2 to Miami, lost by 3 on the road to Tennessee. Let's take those two games out of the equation, which they were competitive, just didn't win. They handled their business against the Minnesota Vikings, which at the time had Justin Jefferson and also had Kirk Cousins there. That's a nice win and for them on the road, 28-24. Then you go in and take a look at Las Vegas, 24-17. Bad football team, but again, that MO of, okay, we beat a team that we don't think is all that talented by 3 points here. You level up in competition. Dallas is still a talented football team and will make the playoffs. You lose by 3 to them. You go on the road and take on Kansas City, maybe the best team in the NFL. You lose by 14 points. You have a bounce back effort against Chicago, who's not a great football team without a great quarterback here. Now, Bajan actually played decent football over the past couple weeks here, so maybe the Chicago Bears are a little bit better than what they thought they were, but they slaughtered the Bears here. The MO I'm trying to make here, build it for why I think the Chargers will win this game, is if I, again, just entering in, we know the Jets defense is good. You can't just, and it's not the 2000s anymore. It's like, hey, by the Ravens, score 13 points, win a game, and then end up winning the Super Bowl. That's not happening now. If I can't get competent play out of my offense, how can I rely on a team that I know the Chargers for one thing here? They have weapons all across the board. Are they a little bit banged up at wide receiver? Yes, but they still have Keenan Allen. Are they having the greatest season from Austin Eckler? No, but he's still efficient out of the backfield. And Herbert has a chance to hit those high marks that you can trust. If I'm just looking for trustability tonight, I like the way the Jets are playing, rallying the troops, but the better offense resides for the Chargers tonight, and the Chargers front line can give a lot of problems to a banged up offensive line for the Jets and a compromised quarterback there. That's the only way I can look at it tonight. I do think the Chargers win. I think the game stays under, but it's just a level of trust. Hey, Donnie, the Jets are going to have a good offensive performance. Yeah, I don't trust anything you're saying with that statement here. You see me? Feel me? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel you. Trustability to the nth degree. Is that a word, DRS? You're going to petition Merriam-Webster to make trustability a word?
Put it on a t-shirt. Put it on a t-shirt. Let's go.
Trustability. Listen, I have great trustability in Donnie Wright's side. And when you look at the Jets this year, Donnie, and how they have defended the run, it actually has not been great so far for Gang Green for how great the offense is. The Jets are the second worst rushing defense entering week number 9, giving up more than 144 yards per game. You would think a big night for Austin Eckler, but since week number 1, he had 117 yards in that week. He hasn't been fully healthy. He's been back now for the last 3 for the Chargers. He hasn't gone over 50 rushing yards, but that doesn't mean he hasn't been productive. 34.5 is the receiving yards number for Eckler. Week number 1 against the Dolphins, 117 on the ground, 47 through the air. In his return against Dallas, only 27 rushing yards, 1.9 yards per carry, but 35 through the air. Only had 1 receiving yard on 1 grab against the Chiefs. That was a weird anomaly game. Last week, Donnie, again, did not, if you looked at just the rushing yards, have a huge contribution. 15 carries, 29 yards against the Bears, but did have 8 targets, 7 grabs, 94 yards, and a touchdown receiving last week against Chicago. That would be how I look at Austin Eckler tonight. 34.5, his receiving yards prop. But Donnie, again, I look more defensively in this game. The Jets team total under 17.5, knowing the issues to the offensive line. How are they going to generate that offense against this LA team, who is not great against defending the pass? In fact, they enter week number 9 as the worst passing defense in the National Football League. But is Zach Wilson going to have the time? Is he going to count on Breece Hall? My thought, Donnie, is looking at either Joey Bosa or Khalil Mack to record a sack. Mack's price much more heavily juiced, minus 158. Bosa, who had a sack last week against Chicago, minus 102. There's some profit boosts out there on the FanDuel Sportsbook as well that would take that minus 158 Mack sack price and bring it down to a much more digestible number, at least in terms of said juice.
Yeah, the good part about that, too, is like you try to find, you know, props where the game is like 52 and a half. It's like, boy, every one of these is high. Wide receivers are all at 75 and 80, and quarterbacks that throw two touchdown passes are heavily juiced. You're not going to get that in the game around 40 points, so you can get some of that value that we can pick up. Now, we're usually talking about the running backs, right? Well, Breece Hall, 60 and a half yards. He's probably going to get at least, what, 15 to 20 touches in this game if he breaks when he can hit that. I'm not looking at that. Austin Eckler, 48 and a half. Well, you're going to be banging your head against that steel wall of the front seven for the Jets, and Eckler, quite frankly, hasn't been that great rushing the football. He's been very good as a pass receiver. But how about this? Zach Wilson, 12 and a half rushing yards. Donnie, why would you look at a quarterback for rushing yards? Hear me out on this.
Yeah.
When you have a porous offensive line and a very good pass rush, will Zach Wilson be sacked? Absolutely. But you know what this force is? Oh my goodness. That line is collapsing on me. I'm a little bit of an athletic quarterback, not obviously like a Michael Vick guy, but he can move around. He's going to want to escape that pocket sooner than later. Also, take a look at his past couple games here. Against Kansas City, 14 yards on the ground. Against Denver, 26 yards on the ground. Against Philadelphia, 15 yards on the ground. Against the Giants, 25 yards on the ground. So we're not asking for a lot. You don't need a lot. 12 and a half rushing yards here for Zach Wilson. He should go over. Why? Because the offensive line is bad, and he's going to be able to escape the pocket and try to make things happen with his feet here. Actually, like that. Look at that. A running game. I'm actually looking forward to a quarterback leading it, and it's Zach Wilson.
DRS, I think it's a great look, though, right? Because he's not a running quarterback where the price is juiced for a Lamar Jackson. Well, you know, it's incorporated in that number and how the odds makers set it. It's also not like the Chargers are going to think, all right, we need to contain Zach Wilson, knowing how bad the offensive line is. They are pinning their ears back, and they are trying to get after Zach as quickly as possible, to sack him as many times as possible. Again, the Chargers are the worst pass defense in the NFL, but top 10 in defending the run, only giving up 93 yards per game. But it's not the design runs that Donnie believes Zach Wilson will use his legs for tonight. It's needing to escape the pocket and keeping plays alive. Keenan Allen, Donnie, 74 and a half, the receiving yards number, the leading wide receiver for the Chargers, Justin Herbert's favorite target. He has been under 74 and a half in each of the past two games. Never less than 55, but still under 74 and a half. But Donnie, he has been targeted nine or more times in six of the seven games for the Bolts this year. And when that was the case in the first four, he was over 74 and a half for LA in every one of those games. If you're looking for the receiving yards number, I would also keep an eye on Justin Herbert finding Keenan Allen. Donnie, when you look at this game, again, it's interesting because there's not the largest sample size on the Chargers as a winning team this year. Only three wins, but in two of the three, Herbert has thrown it 40 or more times. I do think that will be a plan of attack for LA this evening. If the Chargers win, Donnie, and they are expected to do so, a 3.5-point favorite on the road tonight in MetLife, they would be an even 500, 4-4, two straight wins against the Bears and the Jets. Is there hope, Donnie? Is there optimism for this Chargers side the rest of the year?
I think there is optimism. Why, Ben? Because they have a lot of talent, and sometimes talent wins out. Like when you're taking the field and your quarterback here, Justin Herbert, is probably more talented than 99% of the quarterbacks he's going to face, it always gives you an opportunity. Even though they are injured, I'm not giving up on them just yet, because the defense is talented enough in the front seven to make plays in their passing game against opponents, and also has some talent in the back end of it. They haven't put it together. Now, what we mean by turning the season around, making a playoff run, I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to be like, hey, you know, the Chargers are the team to beat now in the AFC. I think that ship has sailed. But tonight, going on the road in New York as favorites, the odds makers are trusting him to win this football game and pull up at even on the season here after this game is over. And I'm going to trust him as well. Just because I'm going to get better quarterback play tonight, I'm going to lean on that.
39 and a half is the over under. The Chargers have played five straight games to the under, but they have never had a total at 45 points or less this season. By far the lowest over under LA has seen. Pretty run-of-the-mill for the New York Jets, who played a 13-10 game in the Battle of New York last week at MetLife and came out on the winning end. And the total of 36.5 did stay under. A best bet for this Monday around the sports landscape. I'm going college basketball. Where's Donnie going? We'll find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out our 3 hours together live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie, and this is the Sports Grid app. The Spiz Grizz app is the ultimate sports betting companion app, available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Listen, you now need the Sports Grid app. You've always needed the Sports Grid app. But Donnie, with so much about to happen and about to get underway on this Monday, Monday Night Football, the NBA season enters week number 2. The college basketball season, 184 Division I men's college hoops games tip today to start 2023-24. College football as well. There's so much going on right now. You need the insights of the Sports Grid app, and then you need something from us as well. Before we say farewell and goodbye, it's time for Bye Bye Bye. DRS, I'm going to give out a couple of college basketball plays. What do you like on this Monday evening?
I'm going to take a look at Breece Hall for the New York Jets. Now, granted, I don't think they're going to win this football game, but they are offensively challenged, which means you're going to try to put the football in his hands as much as possible. Running it up the middle, that's all fine and good. But for me, it's going to be receiving yards for him. Take a look at the last two games against the Eagles, 5 catches, 54 yards. Against the Giants, 6 catches, 76 yards. The FanDuel Sportsbook right now posting a number of 22.5 on receiving yards for Breece Hall. I'm going to go that direction. We're going over the total. I'm confident in that one. Should be able to get it done.
Donnie, I love you're looking at the game flow tonight. A really banged up and injured Jets offensive line against a ferocious pass rush on the other for LA. Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack getting after Zach Wilson. Maybe he scampers out or gets the ball out quickly to the trusted running back in Breece Hall. Two plays for you to start off this college basketball season. Rutgers laying 5.5 against Princeton in the Battle of the Garden State. And my favorite one, Wisconsin, 14.5 point favorite against Arkansas State. The Badgers return the fourth most production in college basketball this year. Wisconsin's going to make some waves in the Big Ten this season. They'll cover as a 14.5 point favorite tonight in Madison. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, live on the grid.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.